Cliff Schechter is our next guest. Of course, joining us, Unprecedented is the podcast, which is exceptional. If you're not subscribed, you need to get subscribed. Also, he is part of Blue Amp Political and Media Consulting, blueampstrategies.com. That's blueampstrategies.com. Cliff Schechter is kind enough today to join us on this historic day. Hey, Cliff.
Hey, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much. I appreciate the time today.
Oh, I could give time and time and time today.
Did you?
It's a blissful feeling, my friend.
Didn't you have that moment today sometime around, you know, like about 10? Well, it'd be probably, 11 o'clock your time, but 10 o'clock central time, where all of a sudden it felt like things just dramatically changed.
Yeah, it's funny. I was saying that exact thing. I've said it a couple of times today. I was talking to a good friend earlier who's worked in politics and my wife who's worked in politics. And it's just amazing. It's kind of like that. It's kind of like sometimes the feeling of momentum in sports, you know. It's not something tangible, but you just feel it.
It was like the Patriots when they took on the Falcons and they started coming back in that game, in the Super Bowl. And you knew that even though that what they had to do is get two touchdowns, two point conversions, you knew they were going to do it.
You knew
it was going to happen.
Exactly right. That's that is the only other feeling I can compare to this, where you just felt the balloon for Trump deflate. You saw him give his speech first, on the way out, and at Andrews, and it just, the whole thing was such a last pathetic attempt at being that he's just been stripped of all power. It felt that way with all the family lined up there, and they couldn't try to look, they couldn't put lipstick on that pig as much as they tried. And once they hopped on that plane and they were airborne, leaving our house, leaving his having any control over the levers of power in our government, I mean, it was like a catharsis, and you're right. It happened sometime in that period of time, especially when Kamala Harris first took the oath of office.
Yeah.
Everything changed, and I felt like we're once again, have a chance at being what we want to be as a country.
I think my wife made the point, and I thought this was pretty good. It was to see George W. out there with the Obamas and realize, oh, that's right. These guys, when they're not being run by an insane asylum, actually do sometimes get along and give you hope that they actually can work together.
That's correct. I mean, look, our system in so many ways we could discuss forever turns people that could get along into enemies. Donald Trump, of course, is a uniquely destructive case because he's got so many emotional, mental, all sorts of issues, let's just say. And these are things that have followed him in his business career and everywhere in his life. Well, many of us warned what that would look like in the presidency, and it did. And it was certainly a challenge to our constitutional order. We've talked ad nauseum about the attack on the Capitol, something that hadn't happened in 200 years since the British did it. And, but we got through it, and it was horrible, and people lost their lives. 400,000 people have died, where if we had a president who, made this their mission as much as Trump makes it his mission to, play golf or fret about who shows up at his inaugural, which stars show up or whatever, if he'd made that his mission, maybe we would have only lost half the people we've lost. So we do have to stop and realize that not everybody got through this, and we lost people along the way, and it's awful. But at the same time, an inaugural is a rebirth, and mm-hmm. that's what we just experienced. And we have to hope that we can be a better country, because I know we can be, and I'm sure you do too.
I brought this up with my previous guest, and I want to get your thoughts on it as well. America is the great experiment. This democracy is a great experiment. And what we can say with all the god-awfulness of Trump is the reality is that it's an ever-changing experiment. And this was the case where we took someone who wasn't a lifetime politician, who didn't understand the ins and outs of this. We took a reality star businessman who really wasn't that good of a businessman, and we put I'm not going to call him an everyday American because he's clearly not, but put someone who is not a lifetime political expert or someone who has been in the ranks of politics for an extended period of time. We put someone in there. We've done it before. I think it was and I mentioned this, Woodrow Wilson was the president of a college when he came over to be president of the United States. But this is really a rarity. And what we've learned is you just can't do that. You have to have someone that understands the concepts of what they're doing.
Well, and look, or somebody that had run a large organization and shown actual talent at it. I mean, Eisenhower wasn't a politician. But, you know, running large military units and showing that you know what you're doing and that you're mature about it. Can somebody look, we've had a couple presidents in a row, and I think Barack Obama was a terrific president, but I think he could have used some more experience at the beginning. George W. Bush, I think, was a terrible president, and he certainly could have used some more experience at the beginning. I think if Bill Clinton was a very good president, he could have. We've more recently been electing people that did not have as much experience, you know, as some of the folks we elected in the past, which of course has now changed with Biden, thankfully. And it's not to say they didn't do a good job, but, you know, at least all three of those folks had some experience. And, you know, if you have no experience in the levers of government, no, it's not a great idea. But, you know, I will say as a caveat to that, you know, somebody who with the right personality, the right spirit, the right sort of wanting to learn and all that, certainly wouldn't. We can't compare that to Donald Trump. I mean, we elected, you said, not a good businessman. He lost $1 billion in 1 year at one point. We elected possibly the worst businessman in the United States or the world. We also elected possibly the worst person. He's a horrible, awful human being. And we can't forget that either, that it's not just about the lack of experience, but the morality, the character, the empathy of who we elect is as important as the experience and everything else.
I had a caller, Lawrence, call in, and he was talking about himself. Now, I think we've established he was a little bit, you know, we just took office 4 hours ago. He's already signed some bills which are going to definitely help not only the African-American community, the black community, but as well the white community, the foreclosure hiatus, as well as the eviction hiatus, the working on the student loans. He's working on that. Obviously, anything to do with coronavirus is helping all people. But I think what we are going to feel, I mean, just to discuss this as well, I think the days of lip service by Democrats on black issues, Latino issues, Native American issues, I think the fact that the Keystone Pipeline is off the table immediately, I think has a lot to do with the Native Americans helping Arizona flip to the Democrats. I think that you are going to see a pretty aggressive policy stance from the Biden administration directly finally delivering to the black community, the Latino community, the Native American community, what the Democrats have what really been promising for a long time, but not really ever been able to deliver.
Yeah. I mean, look, I do feel like I have to throw out there that, you know, there are times where, and you can, again, maybe someone's lack of experience, lack of whatever, but, you know, President Obama tried in some instances a bigger stimulus bill. He wanted to have a public option in addition to the ACA, which is very helpful and, of course, was thwarted by McConnell. Bill Clinton with the Family Medical Leave Act and some other things. We've tried in instances, but not aggressively as we will now, where I would 100% agree with you, is the ground is shifting. I mean, sometimes, you know, you need this kind of a terrible crisis to sort of open your eyes to what you've become. And I think the sort of amalgamation of power in the hands of fewer and fewer corporate chieftains, the fact that forget just even the working class, the middle class, hell, the upper middle class at this point. I mean, you know, there's the fewer and fewer benefits are going to the people at the very top. We've let these large monopolies take over our economy. We've ignored so many concerns from what you're saying, health concerns, environmental concerns, and I think in a way, maybe this had to happen because it split the Republican Party up. And I do think if 10 House members, some of whom you would have never expected, were willing to go ahead and vote to impeach Donald Trump, then maybe they can find themselves to vote for some other things where in the past they had been as a one unit, had thoroughly said, we will not vote for anything Democratic, and they've been taking this posture for 20 to 30 years now. That's my hope. You know?
Well, you know, it's going to bring up the point is the Republican Party is in a very weird place right now. And it is very reminiscent of when the Whigs broke apart, where that founding of the Republican Party, you have this roused up the people that stormed the Capitol, the people that think the people that stormed the Capitol were in the right to do so. These people where belligerence and who is the loudest are what they say wins arguments. That group of that far right belligerence does not want to follow the Republican Party anymore. They want to follow the Q mentality. Trump kind of alluded to maybe starting a new political party, the Patriot Party. So the question here is, if you are someone who is, you know, Mitch McConnell's a slime ball, but he's a slime ball because he knows how to work the Republican system. He's not going to be a guy that's going to be, they're going to like that much. trying to form a coalition party with some extreme far-right group. How does the Republican Party move forward now that there's clearly this massive fissure within the party?
It's going to be difficult. I mean, look, you know, Mitt Romney was their nominee in 2012. Liz Cheney is, at least as of this moment, they're trying to oust her now, is the number three in leadership in the House, Republican in the House, and is the daughter of their vice president from 2000-2008, former defense secretary. And they both voted to impeach Donald Trump during different impeachments so far, but they did. So, in Romney's case, I should say, the Senate to convict. I mean, you know, that there's that part of their party, and it doesn't really mesh well with this other part. I think, you know, McConnell right now, what he always knows is he knows where business is. You know, he knows you're the National Association of Manufacturers or the Chamber of Commerce. And those guys who are radical on some things, but they're, you know, and certainly they are, and they've damaged our country. But other things, they realize we need stability. That, you know, guess what? Coups are not good for business. And McConnell gets, you know, that wing of the Republican Party gets that what Donald Trump was trying to do was very harmful to their interests. So, you know, I think that I don't know how they're going to figure out this fissure. And Trump may leave. And I didn't finish on I didn't say your important point before, which is, you know how you felt like things changed, as you said in the inauguration? Mm-hmm. You kind of feel like that where the country is has changed too, and that's changed where Joe Biden is. Mm-hmm. Here, this sort of moderate guy who's been a part of the institution forever, but you're pointing out these orders. You know, he's sitting down and signing these executive orders. He never would have done something like this on Keystone a few years ago.
Never. You're right.
You know, he never would have on student debt and some of this. He was sort of from Delaware, known as a senator who protected the credit card companies and was excoriated for signing onto what was a terrible bankruptcy bill in the past. But he's got, as I was trying to say during the campaign, in full disclosure, as I've said on your show, I wrote some of his ads. I worked for him. You know, but he's moved so much in a progressive direction and been more willing in saying, you know, we can't just sort of – it's no longer can we just hold where things are. We need to take a number of massive steps forward because, you know, some forces of the right, but also some forces that are kind of in some ways beyond our control. There's, you know, mechanization and globalization and how that's affecting the job market and these kinds of things. Well, you know, we have to be mature, you know, adults and get beyond our ideologies and stand up and handle these things. But we're going to have a huge problem that makes this look like nothing with a lot of people with a lot of time on their hands and no jobs. Mm-hmm. And so we need to address these issues, and maybe all this made some of these Republicans realize that marching in lockstep isn't the way to go. I hope, you know, I mean, look, I'm not naive either. I wasn't born yesterday, and I know what Mitch McConnell's capable of, as well as Kevin McCarthy and the rest of them. But I'm hoping, you know, that if 10 of them in the House could break and say what this guy did, you know, deserves to, you know, means he should be impeached. Well, then here's someone from Michigan, like representative of the newer one, Pete Meyer, who voted for one of the 10 for impeachment, said, I won't, you know, he's like, I'm conservative. I'm not going to just vote against everything Democrats do. I want to work with them. I hope that he means that. And I hope others like him do too.
Well, and we'll see in the Senate. I think Romney and Murkowski are done with the crazy train. I think for sure those two.
I think that we've got at least, I think from what I've heard, there's 4 to 5 votes right now that are ready to convict, including Toomey and Sass and Collins and the two you mentioned. And then the rest will depend on what McConnell decides to do, I think.
Just to show you where the Republican Party is at today, the standard bearer for the party was John McCain in 2008. The Republican Arizona Party is throwing out his widow because she was working against Trump. I mean, they are actively, I mean, this is, you know, in Minnesota, we worship Walter Mondale, Herbert Humphrey. These are classic American, Minnesota politicians that we love them so much. I mean, Amy Klobuchar, I was noticing when she was on the stage today, I said, well, she just won her next term. You know, she just did a great job. She just won another term in office if she wants it.
Right.
But the reality is that the Republicans are eating their own. And when you see that, how you can turn on, this was 12 years ago, how you can turn like that to expel someone from the party, they can't get out of their own way.
They're tied up and they're just in this downward spiral of resentment and hate. And you know, look, maybe deplatforming Trump from some of the social media and some, you know, if their decisions made by some folks in Cumulus Radio started saying to their hosts, right-wing hosts, that if they mentioned any more about their election being stolen, they were going to terminate their contracts. Fox, of course, goes back and forth. They seem like they're a little more responsible, and then they have some other idiot who they put on. And, you know, it's hard to know, but it's improved a little bit. And, you know, I saw that the information disinformation online after they took Trump and Bannon and some of these folks off was down about 75%. You know, maybe there's hope there, because that's the problem, is that the Republicans get caught in this loop and they're almost brainwashed. And we need to grapple with that and what that's doing to people. And I'm hoping that some of these other Republicans, you know, like during the election, when a Joe Walsh or someone like that would tell people that Trump was corrupt and you should vote for Biden, they had more of an effect than when you or I would say it to Republicans. And we understand that. So hopefully maybe some of these other Republicans could bring at least, I don't expect everyone. You know that there's at least a 10 or 15 or 20% of the Republican Party that's just lost. You know,
yeah.
QAnon and neo-Nazis. But the rest, I think that there are people that can be brought to reasonable positions. That's my hope anyhow.
Hey, can we take a quick break? I want to come back and I want to talk to you about the accountability issue with you when it comes to the Republicans. Cliff Schechter once again joining us. Unprecedented is the podcast. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. It is the Matt McNeil Show, AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Cliff Schechter, kind enough to join us today. Cliff, one policy question for you about President Biden. And this obviously is important to us here in Minneapolis. Do you think we're actually going to see a policing bill which deals with reform? We've got to stop the needless slaughter of African Americans by police officers in this country. It is something that a lot of people are hesitant to do. It is a major crisis. And unless we do something, we're only going to have more problems like we had in Minneapolis, like we had in Kenosha, like we've had in Louisville, Kentucky. We've got to do something here. Do you think that Biden will be able to accomplish something there?
I mean, I don't have any inside knowledge, right? I mean, as I said, I did some ads on the campaign. I'm not in the administration or tied to it anyway. I have friends there. You know, all I know is, I know that when we were, you know, writing some of the ads, we were talking about things during the campaign. He, you know, we would be told what President Biden, now President Biden, was very passionate about. And he is passionate about this. And he does feel strongly about it. He is a strong believer, you know, in way beyond equality, but in that we need to repair, you know, our relationships. We need to fix the police department and so many other parts of our society where discrimination is just sort of accepted. And you know, look, with the police, it's that much worse. I mean, it's horrific, right? It's a moral issue of our time. You know, it's up there with anything else you can bring up. You know, it's up there. Hunger for children, things that we need as good human beings, as moral human beings, as empathetic human beings to take on. And so I don't know what in the end he can get passed. I don't know what kind of agreement they're going to have, you know, with a 50-50 Senate, even though we technically have the Senate and the majority leader and we break ties, what they can get through. But yes, I really do. I mean, look, it's not going to be some defund the police, which, by the way, I always thought was an awful slogan because you're not really telling people what it is you wish to do. Is it going, but it couldn't be something that can reform, you know, the police massively. Yes. And really work much harder to root out the, you know, racists and nativists and others among them. I mean, that should be our top priority.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right now, I would just say overall, there's some great cops, but there is a culture among many police departments that is frankly lawless, and it needs to be dealt with. And I do think he will certainly do his best. I do. That's my belief.
I couldn't agree with you more. The defund the policing, it doesn't tell you what you're going to do. Reform the police is where we have to be, and start with that stupid warrior training. We got to end that immediately.
All the militarization of the police. We need to get rid of all that crap.
Yeah, absolutely.
I can say that, right?
We do have to get rid of all that crap. I think that when it comes to holding people accountable, obviously. The whole storming of the Capitol is really to the benefit when it comes to holding people accountable of the Democrats. You're not getting into Russia. You're not getting into coronavirus. You're not getting into anything else. You've got a crime that has been committed, which is historic on a level which is beyond what I think most people ever thought even possible. And I think that if the Democrats commit, go 100%, don't be shy about going after congresspeople or a senator or senators who basically were coddling this group. I think the Democrats, if they go for it 100%, will actually find out what happened and hold people accountable. I'm concerned there's already going to be some feeling of, well, now we're in charge. We at least got Trump out. Maybe we don't pull the reins so hard. I don't know about that. What's your thoughts there?
Well, God, I hope not. You know, I've heard at least – I thought Biden's speech today really hit both notes perfectly. And so I'm really – you know, I'm very hopeful, which is we can – you know, this whole, oh, either look forward or look backward. I mean, that's a Republican talking point so that you know, they throw you into a black or white situation where you have no choice. You know what? We can do both. We can morally repudiate the past and look back and say what has gone on is horrendous, and what was encouraged and what occurred at the Capitol was horrendous, without saying that, you know what, we there's many important policies we need to pass, and there's a lot we need to look, you know, we want unity with people of good faith on the Republican side who are willing to join us. Let's do that. And I think you can do both at the same time, even though they're trying to say, you know, act like you can't. When it comes to the Department of Justice, they need to be independent because, again, that's one of the many things Trump corrupted. You know, that should be completely separate of Biden, and they should go where this takes them. And if there are members of Congress, I mean, there are members of the business establishment, member of whatever, who were took part in this, they need to go to jail. No more of this. All right? We've been on a negative slope. You know, I think Gerald Ford was a good man, but ever since, you know, Richard Nixon was not made to pay for his crimes, it's sort of been like, well, if, you know, elite have a different set of rules than the rest of us. You can't have a democracy that way. Yeah. And anybody who incited riot, anyone that maybe Josh Hawley for what he did outside, Ted Cruz for the speech he gave, Mo Brooks certainly for the speech he gave.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Paul Gosar and Andy Biggs, who apparently, and Brooks, who apparently worked with some of these outside groups. I mean, they're finding more and more connections. The DOJ needs to look into it. They need to be congressional investigations, and there need to be, if any of these folks, they find them to be guilty, I think, I personally would tell you right now, my feeling is, just for the role in the outside agitation and incitement of riot, I think, you know, Cruz and Hawley, as well as those three congressmen I named, should be kicked out. And obviously, if anybody was committing a real crime, and, you know, the supposed who was it, Congressman Steve Cohn, who said he saw Lauren Boebert, that crazy person, giving a guided tour, you know, anybody who did anything in that manner, and they found she was trying to give away Pelosi's location.
Oh,
they need to go to prison.
She was, you know, definitely giving away Pelosi's position. She was clearly.
That was my belief too. If they can find that through an investigation and prove that, she should spend the rest of her life in prison.
Considering who her following base was, it was wildly reckless for her to keep telling everyone where Nancy Pelosi is. And my God, and then we find out there was even guns on the House floor. That one guy.
That's when they had plans to kidnap. Look, the key here is, when you coddle these people, when you coddle the Timothy McVeighs and the Clive and Bundys, what has that gotten you? Yeah. It just encourages these the worst among them to act up more. A lot of the people that stormed the Capitol need to spend their lives in prison, or at least large chunks of their lives in prison. They need to lose, you know, their law licenses. They need to lose businesses. They need to pay for this in a way that will tell others, you will never get away with an attack in our country. And anybody who is involved in this, from the Trump administration or Congress in an inside job, the same exact thing. But I guess I'm just trying to be clear that we never want to be the Republican Party. The Republican Party had 33 different investigations into Benghazi, wasted money, time, and never wanted to really get to the bottom of what we should have wanted to get to the bottom of, is what was the security lapse that got our people killed so that it doesn't happen again, which all good Americans should want. That's what we should want here. And you know what? So not in a political way is what I'm saying. The House and the Senate need to look into this. The DOJ needs to look into this. And Joe Biden's job should be to be above that, to repudiate as a leader morally what went on, and to call for the right sort of, you know, the big picture stuff for us to move in the right direction, but to repudiate the bad stuff too, but also not to stick his, you know, his nose into investigations like Donald Trump did.
I hope we send in like the Fourth Corps to the Bundy Ranch just to drop off that bill and say,
I hope we do.
I swear to God, I want to send in the military and say, here's the bill. We'll take a check right now, or else we can just do this right here. And, you know, call that guy's bluff, because the reality is that is a bully that needs his bluff called. And I think
That would be a great sign that things are changing, that no more of this, I'm a white guy, so you're not going to shoot me. Well, you know, we don't want to shoot you. But if you're breaking the damn law, you're doing the same thing anybody else did. We're coming in, and you point your rifle at, you know, like they, those pictures at soldiers, you know, at members of the Bureau of Land Management, well, then we may shoot you. In fact, we will if that's going to protect our people.
Well, we, that's why we send in the military. It's like, okay, you want to play Army? Let's play Army, because we're pretty good at playing Army.
Yeah, so, exactly.
All right, Blue Amp Strategies, a great organization. BlueAmpStrategies.com, BlueAmpStrategies.com. That's Cliff Political and political and Media Consulting Business. Of course, Unprecedented is the podcast. You have to be a subscriber there. Fantastic content from you, from and, of course, John as well.
Thank you so much.
I can't recommend that podcast enough. Cliff Schechter, thank you very much. We're going to spotlight this interview. All my best. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much, buddy. Have a great inauguration day.
You bet. Cliff Schechter, kind enough to take some time. We'll come on back. The Minnesota Coronavirus Update when we do return. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.